Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to another episode of Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher. I'm also the food healer, and I'm really enjoying this month of alternative healing. I'm learning a lot, and I hope you are too. Today, I've got Aaron Caligassi on the line. We're going to discuss medical massage for animals. Aaron is a veterinary massage therapy practitioner from Brooklyn, New York, currently living in Dublin, Ireland, studying for a degree in acupuncture and Chinese medicine. She's a graduate of Cornell University and the Swedish Institute, licenses both a veterinary technician and as a massage therapist. Erin's worked with over 100 different species, including humans, in her own massage practice during her 20 years in healthcare through Cornell University, the Brooklyn Zoo, the ASPCA, and Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic, a great holistic vet's office. Erin's also published articles on animal behavior, nursing care, and veterinary technicians. She's appeared on Animal Precinct and PBS's Souls of New York. We met while working at Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic. She taught me a lot then, and I'm really looking forward to learning more today. Hey, Aaron, are you there?
Hi, Celia.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm really good. It's so great to hear your voice.
Likewise, I miss you, girl. You've been gone a long time.
It has been a long time, but it's flown, of course, in a new country and new life.
Oh, my God, so much fun. Thank you so much for staying up late to talk tonight. I know that, 11 o'clock by you now? So,
yeah,
let's get this thing started.
All right, cool.
So we're going to start at the very beginning. How did you get involved in massage?
Well, I had some injuries of my own, so I received it as a very helpful therapy for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I had done some in veterinary nursing in other jobs, but really limited. So I kind of got called to it from my own experience, and so I found a good school, or best school that I could find, which was the Swedish Institute in New York City, and took a degree program there, and it was half Western style Swedish massage, half the other half of the program was shiatsu and acupressure in Chinese style.
Oh, cool.
Or Asian styles, excuse me. So, so it was a really, really excellent foundation.
That's awesome. All right, well, I'm going to start with the first question. Comes from Alex, and he wants to know, what's the difference between massaging and just petting an animal?
Petting is really a mutually comforting thing. It's an instinctual thing. It's a gentle kind of stroking, and massage can be this, of course, but in a professional way. I'm really looking at specific structures, especially in a medical way, specific structures that have been injured, specific components of locomotion in the surrounding area, particularly in an orthopedic injury, which is one of the most common things that I treat.
Mm-hmm.
So I would use, depending on the injury, I would use very specific techniques to work within that area, try and restore normal range of motion, neutrify the muscles in that area if they're wasting, reduce scar tissue, which comes with inflammation, things like that. So it's really, a specific targeted thing, in the case of an illness or an injury,
right.
Whereas petting is a much more general comfort type behavior.
Mm-hmm. And does medical massage, does it work strictly on muscular system, or does it do others as well?
It's got a lot more benefits than just muscular. That's probably the most common thing treated.
Mm-hmm.
It also increases circulation to the entire area so that cellular nutrition, cellular wastes are getting brought in and flushed out. it actually can raise the number of a certain kind of white blood cells, the T4 cells.
Oh, cool.
So it increases immune system health. You can use it for lymphatic drainage where there's swelling or clogging, blockage. Mm-hmm. Also doing Chinese medicine, using certain points can directly affect particular organs.
Mm-hmm.
It can also, with the increased circulation, it can help skin problems. A lot of chronic skin disorders are helped. There are areas that, just like in people, we do what's called emotional holding.
Mm-hmm.
So that chronically tight areas from stress can help to be rebalanced, which can really pull your whole body out of alignment.
Totally.
Joint by joint, it kind of spreads, you can use it for socialization of a traumatized animal.
Oh, cool.
You can use it for, minimizing scar tissue where there's chronic inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Too much scar tissue can actually, freeze or lock a joint,
mm-hmm.
called fibrosis. But, as with people, it's just an overall enhancer for well-being.
Can you do things like if an organ isn't getting stimulated enough, can you stimulate an organ or help with constipation, that kind of thing?
Absolutely.
That's so cool.
There are Western methods for that, or there are Eastern methods for that. The Eastern methods might more directly affect an organ,
mm-hmm.
but it's used for tonifying organs that are weak, it's used for raising vital chi and essence. Blood and other vital substances may be reduced. You can stimulate the production of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, if an organ is hyperactive, say, a stomach problem with nausea and vomiting, you can sedate those sorts of things.
Are you able to do anything for, hyperthyroidism, that kind of stuff?
Well, I am not aware. I'm still studying. I'm in an acupuncture program right now, so
mm-hmm.
I'm learning more advanced methods. But I would guess at this point that you would use immune stimulating techniques because
mm-hmm.
the thyroid is primarily an immune organ. It does have hormonal. It has a hormonal basis of action, but it's really also they're both linked. So
that's really cool. And so how often this is such a broad question, so I kind of hate it, but also are you able to cure an animal in massage in one treatment, or how many treatments do you normally have to do to help an ailment?
Well, I think like any therapy, for the best outcome, you want to repeat it, just like physical therapy, psychotherapy. It's a cumulative effect,
mm-hmm.
especially for something that's been around for a long time. It didn't come about in one day, so it's hard to expect it to be significantly helped in one day. But for people who can't come for repeat treatments,
mm-hmm.
if there's a problem getting there or money's the issue or there's a reason why they can't, I always teach clients home treatments as well.
Yeah, you do. I remember
continue.
That.
yeah. So that, they can continue the therapy or they can be the one to give some therapy. It may not be as targeted and specific, but every bit helps.
Absolutely.
And, you can suggest things like using heat or, building a ramp or other, and exercises
mm-hmm.
usually apply to help. With various problems, it's got to be case by case basis. But
mm-hmm.
there's a lot you can do to help your animal.
I love that, and I love that you always gave clients something to take home with them in order to get them more involved as well. Because I feel like with a lot of the alternative medicines, if you don't give that and you just say, come back in a week, come back in a week, come back in a week, it's obviously working, but you're right. I mean, there's a lot of limitations to scheduling, especially in New York. you know, budget and all that. So the fact that you were willing to share your information with your clients in order to help them continue the healing on their pets, I always thought was just amazing. And I love it because it shows that you really want to help. You know, it's not, you're not doing this for the money, needless to say. You're doing this to actually heal animals. And that's one of the reasons why I asked you on.
Oh, thank you. So, yeah, I mean, so many of these problems are chronic, lifelong things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously you can't... Some clients have come to me for the remaining life of an animal and been, you know, long-time clients, but that's difficult for most people to do. So
yeah.
you want to have your own tools that you can give. You know, again, it may not be specific structures.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, certainly relaxing the back is never a bad thing, or, you know,
yeah, totally.
Using a heated bed and things that can really increase your animal's comfort.
So are the techniques similar to human massage? Like, you know, do people come into your office and see a table, oils and music and dark lights and all that sort of thing?
Well, it's actually not like a human's massage office or spa, but I do mostly work on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's most comfortable for larger animals, and if it's a tiny animal, I might sit them in my lap in a blanket,
mm-hmm.
or I might work on a table with them resting on something soft. Really depends on the size and the mobility. You know, for a large dog,
for yeah, instance, totally.
You know, they just need to be on the floor, and honestly, if I can work at their home, that's
mm-hmm.
even better in that kind of case, because you have to imagine a person trying to get the dog to the office.
Yeah, no,
you know,
kidding. Huh?
Lift them into a car, and that can be, you know, especially with low mobility or, you know, with a disabled owner even.
Mm-hmm.
I've had disabled owners. I've had very elderly owners who could never do that.
Right.
So the animal is most relaxed at home, maybe even in their own pet bed or
yeah.
something like that. There's no special equipment really. You know, with a human massage, you I feel funny saying human massage, but with people, I need a special table for their comfort, and you know, you need a face cradle so their neck is not turned to the side.
Yeah.
And a clinical environment is sometimes anxiety-causing, so you want to relax and soften the light and
mm-hmm.
have no background noise from, you know, urban stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah. And how long does a typical massage last?
Typically 30 to 60 minutes.
Okay.
Some animals like longer, and if I haven't met an animal before, I keep it real short, about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
To get them used to me and used to being touched by me, or touched in a place that might be sore or
yeah.
painful, or they might have apprehension.
And do they tend to like it?
They love it. Like most people as well, they do. And there are some more anxious animals that it takes a little getting used to, or wild animals, wildlife.
Yeah.
They do not like being touched by people.
Yeah.
So they have to be held by their handlers in a certain way, because it's just their flight instinct.
Yeah.
That's what's natural to them. But it may, you know, some animals you may have to take a little bit longer and do a few more of those brief introductory sessions with
mm-hmm.
until they are familiar with you and your touch.
Yeah, because that could
if be their
dangerous.
Owner or hand. Sorry?
I said that could be dangerous for you if you've got, you know, a really scared animal in pain.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if the pain is new and they are
mm.
more mistrustful, even though it's a normally friendly or handleable animal, if they're not used to being handled.
Yeah.
You really need a good handler for that. And there are some animals that they can't be handled, so you would only be able to do this kind of work when they're being sedated for procedures
mm-hmm.
or x-rays or, you know, when they're being restrained for another purpose, because especially in wildlife and zoo animals, a lot of injuries can happen when you're catching the animals up.
Yeah.
So we don't want to risk that.
That's a good point.
Or, you know.
All right.
Well, be multi-purpose.
We need to take a break at the moment, so we're going to go away for a minute. We'll be back shortly. I am talking to Erin Calagasi. We're talking animal massage. Hold on 1 minute.
You are listening to Leaving by Dead Stars on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Stay tuned for more from Animal Instinct. Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Did you know that pollinators are needed for more than two-thirds of the world's crop species? Most of these pollinators are bees. However, North America's bee population has been steadily declining since the 1990s. Whether you live in the country or the city, you can show your commitment by hosting a hive in your backyard or even on a rooftop. The beekeeping movement is growing, so you're sure to find swarms of folks who can help you find your way. Learn more about the ways you can help be the solution at wholefoodsmarket.com/sharethebuzz. Is this real? Let me know if I
already have come to. And we're back, and we're talking to Erin Calagasi all about medical massage for animals. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about exotic animals. And Erin, what's it like to work with them?
Well, especially with a new kind of case, it's really fascinating stuff for me.
Mm-hmm.
They can be a bit more delicate or apprehensive, you know, a bit harder to earn their trust. But the differences are just, you know, kind of a thrill for me.
Mm-hmm.
You might have, of course, differences in structures, like a wing versus a regular leg, or you know, other species have certain structures that others don't,
mm-hmm.
and so you know, or they're much more delicate and tiny, and the differences in pressure are drastic. But in those cases, like I was saying before, you may find it very helpful to have the owner present,
mm-hmm.
because they're a calming influence, or they may be able to help you to hold the animal,
mm-hmm.
in a gentle, calming way. Sometimes the owner's presence is not helpful. Other cases, the animal's anxiety may increase if the owner is nervous or, you know, not comfortable holding them still.
Yep.
Or feeling like maybe they're, you know, they're being hurt, or, you know, it's different when it's your own pet, of course, and so they're, you know, I mean, I work very gently, and I can't think of any time when I was hurting an animal, but there's other apprehensions that owners may have that,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, they might want to be not held or not restrained, or, you know, but then the work might not be able to take place, and different sensitivities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with each, you know, you've also got to know what's the normal behavior of that animal. Is it a prey animal? Are certain touches or approaches or areas going to be more sensitive in that species? There may be, like in the case of a reptile, there may be extra calming way to, you can actually put pressure over their eyes, and it's a sort of hypnotizing effect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, little special knowledge like that is very helpful. Or, you know, what kind of housing do they have? Are they free roaming in the house? Do they have a cage? Do they have slippery floors? Do they have rugs? Or it's very useful to know their normal lifestyle and what the normal is for that species.
So when you take on a new client, I'm assuming that you do some kind of a health history with the owners, or just talk to them about all these kind of factors, because they are all important.
Oh yeah. I gather a history from the owners, and if I can see the vet records, that's even better.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I consult with their veterinarian and talk about a treatment plan based on the history and what the treatment goals or possibilities may be. There's really an essential requirement to understand the veterinary aspects of the case. You can't just approach and guess.
Right.
You know, if a person comes to you with a limping animal or a problem they haven't had diagnosed, I will always want them to go see a vet first.
Mm-hmm.
I will always, if it's a long time history and they haven't been to the doctor for a while, or they're not going to go to the doctor, if it's orthopedic, I will certainly do the best I can.
Right.
There are, obvious things that I can assess in the body itself.
Mm-hmm.
With Chinese medicine, I can do a different kind of assessment and address certain issues. But I will always want someone to go to a vet if there's a problem that they're unfamiliar with, and I will find out as much as I can from the vet.
And I think that's a really great point. So, if any of you are out there are thinking about medical massage for your animals, you do want someone who's going to work hand-in-hand with your vet, who's able to understand veterinary records, who's able to open up a communication or is willing to have a communication with your vet, and as well having a vet who's willing to refer people they may know or they may like. The open line of communication is so important in these matters. And it's the same with me with the Bach flowers, is we've got to work with the vets. And It's so much easier, and it's so much better, because then you're getting it on all angles, really. So, it's important. I know for a lot of pet owners, they're like, I don't want to talk to my vet. But it's really, really important, because, they know what's going on with your pet better than, 99% of us. So the open communication between the healer and the veterinarian is absolutely crucial. And I'm willing to say, and please disagree with me if you think I'm wrong, but if you have an animal masseuse who doesn't want to work with your vet, I would probably find somebody else.
That is a really important point. And some, you might find a practitioner, there are pretty strict rules in New York State, but outside of New York State, there are very different trainings and requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And you may find somebody who has a different approach, and a different point of view about that. It's what's safest.
Yeah.
If we had in our own bodies a problem, chances are good if we were going to seek treatment for it, we would want to know for sure what it was.
Yeah, totally.
Just guess,
Exactly, and that's totally. It's like, it's your kidney, okay? Well, maybe not. I don't know.
Right. Well, if somebody has pains in their back, it could be your kidneys or it could be a muscle.
Yeah,
but to really know for sure is the safest way.
So I've got two questions that I have from two different people that wrote in, and so I want to get to these. So Alicia wanted mm-hmm. to know if there's a specific massage technique that would help a dog with disc problems in its back.
Well, sure there is. I mean, the sort of thing that I would teach a client to work with at home would be the softening and warming of the muscles on either side of the spine.
Mm-hmm.
And, they basically feel like two tubes mm-hmm. running down either side of the spine. And depending on the area of the disc problem, whether it's upper, lower, middle, neck,
mm-hmm.
you would just want to focus on that area. But work the whole spine in a just soft, gentle, stroking way. You can use your fingertips to grasp and move the muscles gently from side to side.
Mm-hmm.
You never want to poke and prod, because that can actually spasm the muscle.
Ooh.
You want to be gentle.
Okay.
Just want to stay gentle. Don't get too pokey, because it, as we know from receiving massages ourselves, when somebody pushes too hard and hurts you, it makes you clench up.
Totally, and then it's over.
Not relax. Yeah, exactly. And also in the cold weather, keep them warm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can put a hot water bottle in their bed, you know, wrapped in a towel. Wear, you know, put a coat on them, even if they're a bigger dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're used to that for small dogs. Don't keep their bed out of a drafty place.
Mm.
You know, you can even train a dog to stretch. You know, the upward dog, downward dog.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
You can encourage that when they do it. You know, give them some pets and tell them they're good. Give them a biscuit, and use one word like stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You can, just as you can teach a dog to sit, you can teach a dog to do that behavior. My dog does it with me.
Aww.
I say the word.
Oh, I love it.
I say the word, and then I might do the little stretch myself, and she does it right away.
Oh, I love it. I miss her.
Oh, she's very happy in Ireland.
I'll bet she is. I'm jealous.
Not missing the snow in New York, that's for sure.
Oh, please. We're getting more tonight. So, I mean, I can't even. And then Thursday, it's supposed to be 50 degrees, so it's all going to melt, and then we're just going to flood. You know, you picked a good year to be in Dublin, babe. It's miserable here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, you know, it's what it is. But Jason, I've got another question for you. Jenny wanted to know if there's a specific spot on cats that'll calm them down quickly and easily. She basically has one that's very skittish, and she's got two other cats that are very, very calm. And the one that is very skittish, it just gets set off really quickly. And so when she asked me about this, she was similar to the spot on the shark's belly kind of thing.
Hmm. Well, I have two ideas for that. There's a couple of spots. One of them in Chinese medicine is the most calming, and it's right at the back of the head,
mm-hmm.
at the base of the skull.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of a notch there. There's a bump there,
yep.
And just gentle fingertip circles around that, very gentle pressing at that spot,
mm-hmm.
Is a good idea. It's the most calming. And acupressure, and it's also well known that cats behind the ears is a very preferred spot for them to be stroked, and
mm-hmm.
it's also calming. But the other thing that I think is a wonderful way to get a calming effect is to introduce what they call the Tellington touch,
yep.
the T-touch.
Yep.
And just doing it like as a routine, you know, in a couple few days a week in the evening, and that's basically that's little circles about the size of a dime with
okay.
your fingertips, and just do them in the same direction, like choose clockwise or anti-clockwise,
okay,
and do that maybe, you know, half an inch apart down the muscles on either side of the spine,
mm-hmm.
And you know, just do like a 10 or 15 minute session if the cat can tolerate that, or build up to it. Start with, you know, 3 minutes if they're not into it at first. But most cats really respond well and love that kind of bonding time with their owner,
mm-hmm.
as long as it's gentle touch. So that might be helpful if she has the time to
cool.
get a little routine thing.
Cool,
like
thank
that.
You. And then... we're almost out of time, which stinks. But last question is, if someone's interested in getting a massage for their pet, how can they find someone?
Well, I would look it up online.
Okay.
To see who the practitioners in your area are. There in New York City, there's two canine rehabilitation centers. I'm sorry, one of them is mainly canine. It's called Water for Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Down on Worth Street. It's a wonderful facility, and they have veterinarians and vet nurses and physiotherapists. And the other, for more species, a wider array, is at Animal Medical Center, and they've got a new wonderful rehabilitation center. But those are, you know, bigger institutions. We had at Brooklyn Cares, of course, with a holistic vet offering different kinds of services.
Mm-hmm.
We had a massage therapist on staff there.
So, we're talking to her.
yeah, but I mean, you know, finding your local holistic vet is a good start too. depending on you know what's in your area.
Mm-hmm.
New York City has obviously more options than smaller places, but looking for the local holistic vet, I guess, if you're outside of the city, would be the thing.
Okay, cool. Ugh, and we are out of time. Erin, I want you back in the future, and I'm going to talk to you for 2 hours because we really just skimmed everything. But I love what we accomplished because I think we really gave a nice broad generalization over the entire subject. So I want to say thank you so much for taking the time and staying up real late to talk to us. And on closing, if you want to find out more of this subject, you can either email me. I'm at foodhealer.com. You can go to the website. There's an email option there. You can put comments on this page. Erin, are you able to be contacted right now, or are you too busy with school?
No, sure, people can contact me by email. Can I give you my email now?
Yeah, could you?
Yeah, it's Erin, E-R-I-N, dot Kalagasy, K-A-L-A-G-A-S-S-Y, at gmail.com.
Awesome. And
yeah, I'd love to hear from people.
Yeah, and so you guys don't be shy. If you've got questions, by all means, please give them to us. You know, we're going to answer them for you as best as we can. And Erin, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I want to see you next time you're in town. We got to go back to Atlantic City and play some more Kitty Glitter. And
sure.
I had to get this into that. I just had to get it in.
Oh, I'll never forget Kitty Glitter.
That was a good night. But thank you again.
Yeah, we'll have to bring Dr. Mann.
Too. Oh, yeah, we'll bring the whole gang back. We're going to have a good time. And actually, thanks for the lead-in. Dr. Timothy Mann is going to be here next week. He's the owner of Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic, which is how Erin and I met. He's going to be talking about Chinese medicine and acupuncture. So, Erin, thank you again so much. Thank you, Heritage Radio Network. Joe Galarga, you're the best. Thank you so much. And we'll be talking next week. Take care.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.